First time for everything.
Yeah, there it is. There's a first time for everything.
Mm-hmm. Colin Powell dies for the first time.
Colin Powell dies. The United States has suffered an impacted colon.
He was struck by a meteor, folks, and now he's impacted into the ground.
Oh, no. Our leaders are all keeling over.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when you were in like middle school or whatever and your uncle would be making a joke about how it's like, our leaders now are all named Bush, Dick, and Colin. What's that about?
Or is that just me? Used to have George
that
Bush,
sounds like just your uncle, yeah.
Dick Cheney, and Bob Hope.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to make this joke every time there's a new permutation available.
Wait, do we still have Dick Cheney or not? He's still alive.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
How many more people has he shot in the face since he was in power? That's what I want to know. It's got to be double digits, right?
How many would he have to shoot in the face to like become a good person? Like, how could you undo being Dick Cheney if you shoot enough of the right people in the face at the right time?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Someone's about to kill some orphans. You shoot him in the face. Jeff Bezos shot in the face. You know, just like you keep on going. Like every U.S. senator shot in the face. I think it's 100.
Dick Cheney just like sitting in bed, riddled with like terminal illnesses, barely being like having his life protracted by secret government technology.
Right.
Suddenly has a crisis of conscience and is like, oh no, I have to go hobo with a shotgun on my fellow ruling class elites to make up for all the damage I've caused. And then you just start seeing news stories like Elon Musk mysteriously disappeared.
Yeah. Where is he? Mm-hmm. What is going on?
Grimes is reading Dick Cheney's autobiography the days later and carrying a shotgun. I don't understand what it means.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would like maybe balance the scales for him. He would be a complicated figure.
It could move
like
the
needle. There's no coming back from, you know, having the blood of millions of middle, you know, Arab people on your hands, mm-hmm, to becoming a hero.
Yeah, I think
but
when you
there
know
is
the orchestrated
like a,
war, you can't really, like, there's no forgiveness for that one. It seems like about the worst thing you can do.
When you purposefully kill 3,000 of your own people just so you can go get some oil and opium, mm-hmm, in the Middle East. Yeah, you're not going to be hailed as a leader of any principle, yeah. But if you do use that power at the end and realize that you've been doing the wrong thing the whole time and then actually do something to fix it, I feel like people will be like, what a weird guy.
Yeah. In conclusion, Dick Cheney is a man of contrasts.
In this fiction, a man of contrast.
Well, unfortunately, in real life, he was not a man of contrasts. He was a very polarized figure, just pure concentrated evil.
Just completely desaturated.
Yeah.
Brightness all the way up.
All the way up.
Still one alive, also. One of he's the 80, first. He didn't die.
Oh, he's still around?
Yeah, hasn't died yet. I sort of thought so, but I feel like I remember, like, Obama became president, and he was, like, at his inauguration in a wheelchair and had cancer, and, like, I don't know. The man's just unkillable, I think.
I mean, do you think at this point he and Kissinger are just playing chicken?
Like, yeah, somehow. They're just like,
not me. I'm not moving. You keep your foot on the gas too, buddy.
Yeah. They're doing a drinking game with adrenochrome, like in the first Indiana Jones. They just keep taking shots of adrenochrome, seeing who becomes like a being of pure light first.
Yeah, they're doing like a reverse Tontine where they're trying to live so badly that the U.S. Secret Service medical support can't keep them alive anymore. And whichever one manages to die first, the one who's still alive has to pay their estate some amount of money.
Oh, classic.
Damn.
What do they call that? There's like a weird name for that.
Tontine.
A Tontine.
I flipped it around. So now it's in, what would Tontine be backwards? Enotone.
I think it's enotone. There's no fact checking allowed on the show, so it's enotone now.
No, not tone. Tote.
Enotote. I don't want to hear any politifact.
Enotote, the first and best challenger to the rising power of the numtots.
I wish the numtots had power.
I like that numtots are the premier tot now, because I have to admit I was getting tired of taters.
Also the Hottentots. We don't need them.
You just don't hear Hottentot jokes like you used to.
Yeah, like in Mary Poppins.
That's right.
Anyway, hello everybody. This is BB Paletus.
That's right.
I just think we should intro the show by saying sorry we've been gone. We were on a mission to figure out if the vaccine works, and it doesn't.
We went deep into the New York Times building again in the basement, and 50% of the show got COVID-19.
Yeah,
I apologize for that one. That's our bad. I should not have been hiding under what's his name's Brett Stevens' desk for weeks on end.
I've told you so many times, Chris. When you see gum on the bottom of a desk, that's used.
Look, I asked the nurse when I got my shot, can I chew Brett Stevens' used gum? And she rolled her eyes and didn't say anything. And I took that as that's definitely what you should do.
That's
keep
a strong,
your immune system strong. Yeah, that's like a strong. Yeah,
that's a Twin Peaks style. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's like that guy who had the sign, the like
a blue
sandwich,
rose.
The sandwich sign that was like, "I am here under duress by the U.S. military. I don't want the vaccine, but I'm being forced to get it."
Oh, that guy rocks.
Excuse me, Miss Nurse. Once I'm vaccinated, I can eat Brett Stevens used
alive.
Gum. And she's just like rolling her eyes and shaking her head. And you just like transform into Dale Cooper and you're just like, that's one delicious slice of yes, you should do that.
And then she's like, God damn it. Another fucking white boy transforming into Dale Cooper. It's only 10 a.m.
I feel like getting COVID and it being so mild really makes me understand that America is not going to do anything about this. And we're going to basically be getting COVID every year for the next 5-10 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what I've been thinking about, because like we had a COVID scare at work on Friday, late in the evening. We found out that one of the guys has COVID. I hadn't interacted with him at all. I have still not met the guy, but they
Wait,
told
when
us
was this?
Like, this was Friday evening, so we're recording on Monday.
So
this
you could like, you could be getting it.
Yeah, that's the thing. So they were like, okay, no more jobs today, and then you have to test negative to come back into work. And I could not for the fucking life of me get one of the rapid tests before today. Like, I was on the internet Friday night and they were like, all the Walgreens are closed until Monday. Not closed, but not doing tests. And so I just went and got my fucking COVID test, and I'm waiting for the email now. Like, can I go to work? Can I earn some fucking money tomorrow, please? And it made me realize is like, I'm eventually gonna get COVID. There is no fucking two ways about it, whether it's this year or 5 years down the road when it's about as dangerous as, you know, I don't know how not dangerous it's going to get, but it should be milder 5 years down the road. At some point, I'm going to fucking have COVID-19.
Yeah.
And that's a fucking, that's a failure of capitalism.
Absolutely.
Or a success of capitalism if you're a part of the capitalist class.
So, I guess the fact that you could get it and then be sick for a few days and go back to work, capitalism is like, great, nice job, man. You nailed it.
Yeah, I mean, that's here's like the worst part too, is like 5 years down the road, we're all going to be at our jobs and people are going to be like, ah, you know, John's out for 3 days. He's sick with COVID. And they're all going to be like, remember when this shit could kill you? Now it's only 3 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Gosh, what were we so worried about? Good Lord.
And, or they might say, which one? COVID-19 or COVID-2023 or COVID-2025? Yeah.
Oh, I've got COVID-69, baby.
Hey.
The best COVID.
The nicest one.
Man, no, it's super lethal. I'm going to die anyway.
I mean, what? Like, how many years is 2069 from now? Like 57, right? Like, so I'll be pretty old by then. If I got COVID 2069, I feel like we would
be 90 something.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess if I'm 90, even if I'm vaccinated,
yeah, you're
Colin
dead.
Powell was vaccinated and he got COVID and then he died.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, what better way to go out than COVID 2069?
Oh, but I mean, for real. But then, like, this COVID scare at work has also highlighted something else to me, which is that if I test positive, they want me to send them my results. But if I test negative, they'll just take my word.
So you could just say negative.
So just say I'm negative, but and they'd be like, show up tomorrow.
The more people get it and have an experience like me, where it was like a mild flu, like it wasn't cool. It sucked.
It sucked. Like, but it sucked for like a few days.
It was
got like kind of a fever. It wasn't that bad.
It really just felt like a low fever for a couple days. And then you feel a little tired for another couple days and then you're fine. And it's like, that sucks and you don't want to do it. But the more people have that experience, the more people are going to be willing to take risks of just mm-hmm. like, well, why would I? I just got vaccinated. I just got my COVID shot for the year. So who cares? You know what I mean? Like, people are going to just be saying like, yeah, I'll get your COVID shot and then don't care about it. If you get it, who gives a shit?
Yeah. Well, and yeah. And then the whole opportunizing.
It's just going to become the flu again.
Yeah. Well, and the whole opportunizing on COVID that like the state has done is just a way for them to basically be like, okay, well, you're just going to fucking get it now. And yep. at the same time, for all of us to argue over it. And I'm not saying arguing over COVID-19 precautions is stupid. It's honestly something that's worth thinking about and having a discussion about. But the fact that we're all like, oh, should I get my third booster? Am I safe mm-hmm. if I've got two shots and I've already had COVID? How many days from a negative test do I need to be to get back to work? And it's like, maybe we should be demanding like fucking healthcare.
Yeah, exactly. Also, I found out that tests cost money now because
oh, really?
there was a period where I remember there was stories about people like getting asked for their insurance information and mm-hmm. then like the whole waiting room being like, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. And it was like, the rule was you didn't have to have insurance to even get a test or a vaccine. You could just, it's all free.
Right.
And now if you don't have insurance, tests cost $100.
That's fucked. But
really $100? That's insane.
$100.
That must not be the same from place to place though.
It's not.
Like, I just went to the Walgreens and got my test done and the dude didn't even look at me twice. He was like, stick mm-hmm. this fucking swab in your nose yeah. and make it snappy, motherfucker. There's 9 cars behind you. and yeah. he just didn't have time. I don't know if $100 was just like even worth the 10 seconds for him to be like, do you have insurance?
But it's
because I don't.
It's like every other thing in the country. It's state by state. It's right. company by company mm-hmm. and some companies are doing it for free and some companies are like, we need your insurance, we're going to charge you $100, and that's why people won't get tested anymore and they're going to start lying and they're going to start just saying, yeah, I'm negative, especially because we didn't even know how it worked. Because if you have, according to the doctor, after you have it, after you're done quarantining, you can still test positive for 90 days.
And oh,
not,
really?
Even if
you're, yeah, it was really
you're
strange.
You're not contagious after you're done quarantining, but because of the antigens or whatever, the right. way the test works, it like goes in your DNA and you can test positive for like 3 months. Mm-hmm.
That's
so
crazy.
So people are asking for negative tests to come back to work, but you shouldn't be doing that because there's no like rules about it because no one is telling anybody anything. Right.
Well, and like also because like if we wanted to have a coherent response to COVID at this point now, we would have already had to have had some yeah. measure of preparation right. done mm-hmm. when it was a crisis. And we fucking didn't. We didn't instate any kind of national or even in many cases statewide standards
absolutely.
For what returning to employment should look like. Mm-hmm. We didn't institute any kind of safety nets to give people the space to take care of themselves. We right. just kind of said, well, this is the land of personal responsibility and rugged individualism. So rugged individual yourself better from COVID.
Yeah,
and that's just the way it works.
Yeah. And this is, like you were saying, like people are asking these questions and the answer is nobody fucking knows. Mm-hmm. Like people will tell you different things. If you go on the internet, even if you try to be like, I'm going to read the science or whatever type of person, like it's not like even the CDC has been consistent.
No. No, you basically have to speak a language that is predominantly spoken in a socialist country if you want to get good medical reporting on COVID.
Yeah, you got to be fluent in Mandarin or Spanish.
Spanish or Vietnamese or something.
Like. Yeah. Yeah, man, it'd be really cool to speak Chinese. I keep thinking that. Maybe I should try to learn someday.
I'll learn with you. Yeah.
It looks so challenging. I'm just so scared of learning a new alphabet. I think I'm going to just go for Spanish.
That's probably a decent move.
Well, yeah. I did it on Duolingo for like a month, uh-huh. and it was way easier than I thought it would be. Like, it makes a lot more sense than you'd think.
Well, I mean, I guess it kind of, I've always wondered this because like it's a common Western or like English speaking thing to be like, man, you got to memorize all those fucking pictures to read Chinese and Japanese. And it's like, well, but you got to imagine the pictures the pictographs or whatever you want to call the characters look a certain way for a certain reason. Like, they're memorable.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
as such, they are being used as those words. Like,
yeah, it's not random shapes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they just like had some spaghetti and they threw it around and were like, I guess that looks like a shape. That's the word for chair today.
I mean, I was shocked when I found out how fucking logical the Korean alphabet is.
It's, I was like, gonna say Korean seems like a really easy one to learn.
Well, that one was like made like by one guy, right?
One guy was like, you should have a language where it's really consistent how everything's pronounced. You can take one day and learn how you pronounce all the letters, basically,
right?
And then you just read the language.
Because like spoken Korean already existed, but they were borrowing the Chinese alphabet, and it wasn't like working really great all the time for them. And then they were like, wait a minute, what if each word was a character made up of three smaller characters that had a clear, like, indicative order built into the very character itself? And it's like, it's basically the first constructed language. Like, it's Esperanto, logjam, eat your fucking heart out. Like,
and it looks awesome.
Yeah,
it looks Korean great. Looks so cool.
It really does.
Yeah. So I guess learn North Korean.
Maybe that'd be a good one. Just learn to read North Korean.
I
feel like the most visually appealing alphabets are definitely Korean. And then whatever that is, it like, I think it's an East African languages. They use like they look kind of like Latin letters, but they have a lot of extra little hooks and wiggles on them and stuff. Not Sanskrit, but I'm thinking of like, what do they speak in Ethiopia and Eritrea?
I know what you're talking. It looks really cool.
Yeah, it looks great. Honestly, I'd make English look like that. Develop a font or something.
Yeah,
English is getting a little stale, honestly.
Oh,
yeah, I'm
God,
done
how
with it.
Boring.
We should make this a Korean podcast.
We're like translating our thoughts into the rudimentary Korean that we know.
Is it Gies script? Is that what you're thinking of?
Oh, yeah, Gies. I think it might be. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Good
G-Eazy
stuff.
Script.
Yeah. G-Eazy script. That's right. Yeah, I'm learning a new language. It works in a couple of alphabets. There's the Cyrillic alphabet, and then there's the alternative. You can use the Flo Rida alphabet.
Yeah. Yeah,
they got one symbol that just means apple bottom jeans and boots with the fur somehow.
Oh my God. Amazing.
It's a complicated symbol.
So it's a bad world out there for us. But I don't know. I mean, it's just like, when you think about it, how many people were dying from the flu before COVID? Like 10,000 people a year?
Tens of thousands every year in the States.
And it's just like, we just forgot, or like, it just wasn't on anybody's mind. And I feel like they're just going to get to there, which will be like, well, some people die from the flu because they're old. Some people die from COVID because they're old. Who cares? And then it'll just all sort of become a thing that's like low humming anxiety again, but at the same time,
I love that though. Honestly, what a clear distinction between the capitalist and the socialist countries of the world. Socialist countries are like, hey, a new and dangerous virus, let's try and prevent and eradicate it if at all possible. And the capitalist countries are like, hey, you know, in 5 years, this won't even feel like a big deal anymore.
Yeah, I mean, because it seems like when you go back through history, you have like plagues or like big epidemics or whatever, and it like usually it seems like people who live through it just want to kind of forget and move on. But then now it's like we definitely have this dichotomy where there's like countries that actually are like, the life of every citizen of this country is valuable and we should try to protect them. And then we have the countries like the US that basically treat it the same as like feudal Europe, where it's like, well, peasants will die and then I guess eventually we'll move on if everyone's not dead.
Yeah, I mean, we're one of the only countries where like life expectancy isn't even going up anymore. So I think a lot of us have the idea that like, well, this is a once in 100 years kind of event. So if I survive, I never have to deal with this again. Goodbye.
Like, yeah, that's the
which is
like,
very stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when people say that like a hurricane or some storm is like a once in 100 years flood, and it's like maybe it was 20 years ago or 100 years ago, but I feel like now it's going to be once every 4 years. Like, we're changing the planet and we're changing the world constantly, and these things aren't going to be so rare anymore.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's like, it's just exactly. It's like climate change, where it's like, yeah, sure. I mean, it was a once in 100-year event hurricane 30 years ago, but like you said, like the last 3 years, we've had one in 1,000-year weather events of various kinds.
A couple
kinds.
Of times. Yeah.
And like, you know, that's the thing. I'm not a virologist or an epidemiologist, but like, you got to imagine, man, the world population is only going to keep going up. Increased transmission of human beings from one place to another increase, globalization is only going to continue, whether under a capitalist or a socialist system. And as a result of that, like, the transmission and mutation of pathogens is going to keep getting worse. More people means more viruses. Like, and you know, I'm not some Malthusian saying like we should get less people.
Don't get us wrong.
Right. No, I'm saying we need to get better and smarter about fighting the fucking viruses. Yeah. And the examples are out there, like China, Vietnam, Cuba. I mean, Cuba, yeah. The socialist countries. The easy, yeah.
It's such a line in the sand. It's funny because I feel like America is having trouble propagandizing against it. Mm-hmm. Where, and you see this in a lot of, it's been so long since we've done this that I'm forgetting what we've even talked about. But there's been like articles within the past couple of weeks as like China is giving the vaccine to almost every billion, all of the billion people in the country. But did they do it too harshly? Was it too authoritarian for them to do that? Because they kind of twisted some of the people's arms or like gave them money and bribed them. So who can say if it was a good or a bad thing? It's like, what?
I don't know why we're not bribing people in America. Just give them $100 for a fucking vaccine.
My friend away from an oncoming train, and then he yelled at me and said, "You pushed me. Am I the bad guy?"
No one
Owie.
Can say.
John, my arm hurts now. That hurt. You pushed me a little.
Yeah, and like you brought up that guy who had the sign that says, like, I'm doing this under duress because I have to work and I'm not allowed to work without the vaccine.
I think he's in the army maybe too. I have to follow orders.
I have
US
to
Army.
Follow orders.
Crazy
in the military. They're telling me what to do.
The military's authoritarian, guys, because they made me get a shot.
And it's like these fucking libertarian assholes have been, calling having to work like a free market decision that you make for the past 100 years, being like, No, you can, you could just buy your own land or just start your own business or, hustle and grind and work, if you don't want to work for someone else. And now, because you have to either quit your job or get the vaccine, authoritarianism now. It's violent authoritarianism. It's like, yeah, obviously, it's always been that. Yeah. There's never not been a quote unquote authoritarianism to have to live under a capitalist society. Sorry, you're just figuring that out now.
Yeah, I mean, that's my thing is like there's a lot of people who are just like, well, I don't trust a bourgeois government to hand out the vaccine. And it's like, okay, I agree with you, but like, let's break down what we don't trust about a bourgeois government. That they won't do it well or fast enough or effectively enough. It's not that there's a problem with the fucking vaccine.
Like, right.
I understand, like, things have class character. Medical science can have class character depending on the way it's being presented and wielded. But like the function of a vaccine does not have class character. It just is what it does. Like,
right.
Let's be real. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's become, I think, a way for people to just not have politics anymore, but still have like cultural differentiation.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the whole thing feels astroturfed to me because it's like at a certain point, what are you even talking about? Like 70% of the country is vaccinated and people aren't dying. People aren't, they're not dying from the vaccine. It does suck. It's
I'm
not fun to
get it. I'm just sick and tired because they made Superman's son get the vaccine in the new Marvel movie, which is this woke SJW vaccine bullshit. I just, like, what are you really mad at? Like, you are throwing a fucking pity, but you are like angry German keyboard kid. Just bam, 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 at home screaming shisa into the ether. Like, get a fucking grip. Like, all of this stuff is a distraction. Like, that's my main thing. It's like the whole, like, argument over the details of COVID, like, there are greater points that we could be handling. Like, we need to overhaul our entire medical system. And then, and then we have a chance of being like, okay, from here, what's the best way to handle COVID?
Right, because it's not, it's forever. In this, if nothing changes economically and politically, which, probably won't within any like reasonable amount of time. It's just forever. Like COVID will be forever.
And the insurance companies love it. Insurance companies love it when you're sick and dying because they can bill you. They can bill the hospital. They can bill your fucking family. They can bill whoever they might be able to get on the hook for it. And if they can't collect all that money, it doesn't even fucking matter because they've deliberately overbilled so heavily that even if they only collect 10% of that debt, they're still making fucking money hand over fist. Mm-hmm. So when the COVID pandemic came around, the insurance companies were probably fucking scheming to figure out like, how can we get as many fucking people as sick as possible? Because it shouldn't be any surprise. This isn't tinfoil hat stuff. The fucking Sacklers deliberately got an inordinate amount of the American population hooked on opioids, which can fucking kill you just to make some money. So like, you know, if saving our lives is going to cost them a dollar, they ain't fucking doing it. They'll actively campaign against it and dump like $19 million fucking dollars into the campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. So it doesn't really matter. It's just annoying and frustrating because what we're seeing also is, you know, what seems like international strikes. Mm-hmm. Right, like IATSE is striking, John Deere is striking,
Kellogg,
Amazon I believe is about to,
Amazon's about to pop off, the farmers movement in India has been going for like half a year at this point,
right? So it's like workers that, like, what I think the problem is like, or what I'm trying to say is the whole like, we're not going to take the vaccine or we are going to take the vaccine is like a very small amount of people. Mm-hmm. Like the people who are actually working at like the most like low levels are just wanting money and time and to be, you know, have decent jobs. And like this whole thing, the whole like gambit that the capitalists have done is failing, I think.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. it's not working. They're not going to be able to tell people just to go back to work. You know, we've got like massive amounts of media saying, oh, nobody wants jobs. Nobody wants to, you know, we can't find any labor or whatever.
The and best then, fucking job I could find is $15 an hour. The absolute fucking best one is something that should have been the minimum wage 10 years ago.
20.
Jeez. 5-30 years, like this yeah. is the situation we're in. Like, everybody's like, oh, you must have a real easy time finding a good gig, huh? And I'm like, no man, the good gigs are just as fucking scarce as ever. It's just that, like, if I want to work at McDonald's, it's easier to get hired than it was before. Big fucking whoop.
Yeah, but there's not, it's not like better pay now.
No,
it's
not
the
even close.
Worse.
Well, and that's exactly why this capitalist gambit, as you called it, has mm-hmm. failed, is because there's no recuperation, right? That was something that the ruling class did really well in, you know, the fucking original era of the New Deal, right. Which was that mm-hmm. there was some level of recuperation into capital, some kind of vaguely social democratic thing that gave people enough shit to feel comfortable enough to not be so fucking miserable that they wanted to like murder their boss or whatever. And
right.
none of that is happening. Which is like, yeah. I'm mad about it because it's negatively affecting my life. But in a way, I'm also like, good. The yeah. fucking bottom should fall out on this pyramid scheme. That would be a good result.
I mean, it's hard not to look at the material conditions of America at this moment, bless you, and not kind of be happy about like the sort of accelerationist things that are going on.
Yeah, right. I mean, I feel like in America, when like the Senate still exists, it's like all you can really hope for is acceleration and worker movements and stuff, because it's like there's no other avenue for like the average citizen.
Well, I mean, just to be clear, like I don't mean like there's, I don't, in the accelerationist proper, I think
yeah, it's not it's, capital
it's,
A.
It's a sort of like. Oh, we're doing fascism and that's good or something. But yeah. I'm just saying like the wheels are falling off.
The contradictions are accelerating.
We're looking at
more than
the
anything,
crumbling of an empire.
It's not like I want the contradictions to get worse. It's that I want where they're at to be enough, right?
Yeah.
To spur the revolution. Like, and that comes from a heightened class awareness, which is something that is building in the United States right mm-hmm. now. Like, even if conditions suddenly got better, they passed some kind of New Deal-esque thing, legislation, whatever. And it like $15 an hour minimum wage or $20 or something, guaranteed healthcare benefits, whatever. I would hope, and I do think I would lean towards this being the likely outcome, that the class consciousness that's building in the United States would continue to keep building. Mm-hmm. And that's for a few factors. That's, I mean, for most people who are involved in being part of a class movement, class struggle, whatever, are doing it for the first time in their lives, are learning that this is an avenue that exists for the first time in their lives. Because a lot of us were not around in the 30s. Mm-hmm. So the other thing is there's a growing international socialist movement, and this is taking place on at least two fronts. The main one being major socialist countries, namely China, increasing their productive forces and becoming the dominant economic center of the world. And the other thing that's happening is armed communist struggle and workplace struggle by socialists in places like India and the Philippines. And socialism is even making a comeback in Russia. So there's these two currents. And I think it's easy if you live in the United States to be like, things have to get worse before they get better. And it's like, okay, maybe if the only thing you pay attention to is the United States, but like there's a whole global socialist movement out there. And when shit starts to get really bad here, there's going to be solidarity and there's going to be help and opportunities from the other socialists out there who have already handled their shit, so to speak. So, I mean, like, don't fucking despair. I'm not saying you're going to get a letter from President Zhu. Like, I have sent you $1,000 US. Let me know if you need any more. Sincerely, Angles. But like, I am saying that like major organizations, which we have some already and some will spring up, are going to receive help from the outside, and there's going to be opportunities. Like, you know, I get it. Like, maybe you want to move into the fucking woods and be like, I'm just going to be a hermit, and when I come out, it better be socialist. But what?
I'm a mushroom boy.
Do it,
boy.
I guess. You're probably not much help anyway. Like,
I'm woods man. I'm mushroom boy.
Yeah. I'm woods guy. I'm a guy in the woods, you know? And then you put me in the city, and I'm just like, oh boy, I love the city. How about the Mets? Oh, yeah. Let's go Mets. I love the Mets.
Suddenly, I'm a mushroom, but I'm polygonal, and I kind of have like a weird sheen on me, like I'm in a cyberpunk or something. Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing is, I think, the aesthetics of the internet have been fucking up a lot of people's brains. I'm not the first person to say this, and I'm totally complicit in it, but the idea, like these illustrations of like, I'm an Anprim anti-civ, or like I'm a techno-Leninist ultra future cybernetician. It's like, no, you're not. You're a fucking you're a fucking person sitting around in your fucking living room. Like, get
you're
real.
You're Beto O'Rourke. You're wearing khakis. You're not anything.
Get down from the table.
But well, I mean, that's extra funny because it's like you're spending 12 hours online all day and you're saying you're Ted pilled or something. Like, fuck you. What are you fucking talking about? But,
yeah, like, at least the Anprims have the decency and the honor to log on to Twitter using their phone made of bark.
Yeah, if you're an Anprim, you're not on Twitter. Sorry, you don't get to have a flag. There's no internet flag for people who think it's evil.
You can draw a flag on a piece of birch bark and you can hold it up and people can drive by the highway.
I should not ever, ever, ever hear anything online about anti-technology.
That's right.
And you know what? Because the Matt Borges comic does not apply here. If your criticism is technology, then you don't get to participate in it.
I mean, that's like me. I had to teach myself that lesson in a slightly permutated form when I realized that, like, I'm sick of seeing superhero movies. I'm sick of seeing the same old stale joke formats. And you fall into a hole of posting them and being like, shit sucks.
Why do I keep seeing this?
Why do I keep posting it? If I don't want it on the internet, I shouldn't put it on my own fucking wall. I mean,
this is why I have not shared or liked or interacted with any fucking evil band meme. That's one of the worst memes I've ever seen. It was never funny. Evil band meme. Be like, I'm funny.
Evil Weird Al be like, help yourself.
Evil Weird Al be like, I will now sing the normal version.
Yeah, it's so funny because people always talk about how Zoomers and like the modern internet culture has like the dankest, most incomprehensible memes. But sometimes someone comes up with a meme that's just like, remember opposite day from elementary school? What if it's just that? And everyone is like, you know, I could do that.
What if it's the joke of like Spock's evil twin has a goatee?
Yeah.
What if that's the meme?
Memes that are so dank and deep, they return to normal.
Because I feel like that's what happened. Like there was a meme already where they did like evil guy and he has a goatee on.
Yeah.
Like that happened in like 2005 or something.
Oh God, they were doing that fucking, they were doing that as a throwaway gag on The Simpsons in the fucking 90s.
Yeah.
Like this is there's nothing new under the sun. Like that's the other thing. Like when we really do stumble across some new piece of culture, it's like a fucking revelation, because like everybody's like, oh, Rick and Morty's the greatest show ever. I'm like, Rick and Morty is just the Twilight Zone Futurama. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's two shows that were already well loved in their own time. And Futurama, that's the other thing. Futurama's just the fucking Twilight Zone with like a the particular Simpsons. Theme.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that show.
I love it. I love them all. I know.
Everybody likes it. Like,
I won't watch Squid Game because I've already seen it. I've seen plenty of anti-capitalist TV shows and movies. I already know what's going to happen in a general sense. Because guess what? I've read Karl Marx. I get it. I'm grounded. Okay, I should be in the writer's room. Like, you need to put another yard of linen in that script.
I've seen Battle Royale. I have seen The Hunger Games.
Yeah, you know,
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. I've seen yards of linen die at the end of a factory.
I've seen Squid Game. Believe me, I've seen Squid Game much more than Hillary Clinton has. I've seen it many times. I know the ending. I worked on it, actually. She was not even involved. Yeah, I sort of was having that feeling. Like, people said Squid Game was really good, and it was blowing up the internet for, like, a couple weeks. And then, like, yesterday, I was sort of thinking, like, you know,
I'm sure it's fine.
I heard,
like,
one thing about Squid Game repeated, like, 1,000 times, and then people stopped talking about it. So I feel like it's kind of just, like, a show that's fun to watch, and then you're like, oh, I watched that. Time to move on with my life. Like, I kind of feel like I watched it anyway.
It's all becoming fucking Avatar. You know? Name a plot point from Avatar. They go to the fucking planet. There's blue people there. That's about all I fucking got.
The Airbender? I never watched that either.
Oh, I don't know anything about the Airbenders. I'm talking about the James Cameron epic saga.
Yeah. I mean, he gives up his humanity to stop fighting for the Empire, which is the only thing you can do. It's got a pretty good message, actually.
But I don't care. That's my thing. I don't care about having a good message. I would rather watch something entertaining with a bad message than be bored watching somebody preach something to me that I already fucking know.
I mean, like you said, if you're like Karl Marx,
This idea that like we're going to make some sufficiently radical piece of art that's going to get like dipshits off of their couch and like joining the PSL is just wrong. It's not going to ever fucking happen that way. Sorry to bother you does not make the United States more communist. Sorry to bother you is a result of Boots Riley being influenced by communism. And yes, there's a little bit of superstructural gas in the tank, but like the idea that that means as much as like any worker action in the US is wrong. It's just fucking wrong. And I'm so tired of people being like, oh, do we have the right number of proletarians in the new Marvel movie? It doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter.
Kumail Nanjiani is literally shooting like energy out of his fingers, like while pulling his thumb like a trigger and doing spirit bombs or something in that movie. They're not even humans. They're not proletarians. There's not anything.
Wait, is that a conversation? I haven't heard that.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying in Eternals, there's a clip where he's like doing fucking Dragon Ball Z type shit.
I'm tired of everything. I'm a grumpy old man today. I've had a lot of coffee and I'm tired of Kumail Nanjiani and his weirdly buff now figure being in everything. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, I really want the Chad meme who used to be on like daytime crappy comedy shows to tell me that like he's going to save the world from Thanos. I don't care. I don't know how any of this shit fits together.
Yeah.
No, but I think you're right. I mean, like I personally think that like at this point there's just like a fully mechanized like censorship project in America. I believe that if you could make something that was actually like a call to arms, like propaganda piece. Mm-hmm. And it had the marketing of a Marvel movie. Like, it could do something, but that is not possible.
You're not allowed.
Yeah, like, yeah, you're not allowed to do that.
I bet if I could lick my elbow, it would taste really good, but it's not happening.
Right, exactly. I don't know if it would taste very well.
Wow, that tastes like a whole yard of linen, maybe. That's kind of crazy. Also, like a coat at the same time? It's weird.
But, I mean, like, I personally think that media affects culture. Otherwise, why would it matter?
Right. Like, that's why they don't let you make like real propaganda.
That's why you don't get movie after movie of, you know, armed struggle against the state and, you know, the people winning and like the details of establishing a communist egalitarian society. Like, you can't show that, and you can't show it at its good. Like, it's not a thing that you can do. And so, and because I think it would affect people's minds and it would shift politics culturally, because I do think it's something that can happen, but there's no possibility that that is going to happen on Netflix or in the multiplex funded by Warner Brothers or Paramount or any other CIA cutout.
Like, if it was going to happen, it would have happened when the movie Ants was released. But instead of Ants having the desired outcome of a proletarian revolution in North America, instead what it resulted in was a film with a bigger budget and a similar but watered down story completely overshadowing it during its entirety in production.
Bug's Life, yeah.
Which was, of course, A Bug's Life. Yeah. It's one of the worst films ever made.
What?
What? I love Bug's Life.
What on earth?
I'm sorry, you're just not appreciating the class character of A Bug's Life, which is decidedly bourgeois.
No,
they do a revolution and they kick out all the grasshoppers at the end. Oh, no. I can't believe it.
I'm an ants third worldist, and I'm here to tell you.
Oh man!
I mean,
the ants third worldist response YouTube video to the Bug's Life Marxist. I can't believe it. I gotta watch this one.
Yeah, okay, but this is the thing: is that that's fun to talk about,
right?
But that is all you can have. That's all politics is anymore.
It does not move the needle if the Bug's Life Marxist makes a video about how the new Marvel movie is communist.
Or like how to read, like it's all CIA, like Iowa Project, like readings of things. Like, how do we Marxistly read the MCU? Mm-hmm. And it's like, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You can have fun with
Elden
it if you
Ring
want.
Maoist?
But people are having like full on fights about like what the implications of the Black Widow movie are, or whatever.
It's just narcissism. Narcissism to fill up the void left by their impotence. They're like, I can't actually change anything, so I better identify way too much with this intellectual property.
Right. But if you want,
I can defend that on the internet.
But if you want to do something, there are multiple worker resistance movements happening in your country right now.
Probably in your state.
Yeah, probably in your city that you could become involved with, even if you are not in that union. You could help out by just like communicating with those people. You could get involved with unionizing your workplace. You can get involved by, you know, just talking to that union and seeing what's up. You can do a lot of things that aren't online.
You could go online. You could order one pizza.
Have fun.
Two people on a strike line with pickets. And that's more than watching 1,000 hours of the Bug's Life Marxist analyst.
Yeah, right.
Whatever.
Well, it's like people are like, oh, I don't want to go to a meeting. I don't want to have to sit through a bunch of whiny fellow comrades grieving about the grievances of capital. I don't want to deal that. I would rather sit at home on Twitter and talk to the same 9 people in the boys chat that I've talked to for the last 3 years, 9 hours a day. It's like, you don't hate meetings. You just...
Hate yourself.
Yourself. Yeah, you're not comfortable doing something to help you or anyone else. And so you would rather live in your little comfortable anxiety bubble than go out into the anxiety-ridden world. Like, you don't get a choice. Here, this is the main thing I've learned, is that, like, I don't get a choice. I'm going to be anxious no matter what happens. So mitigating that shit, really not a priority anymore. I'm just trying to do things that improve my life at this point.
Sure, yeah.
And like, honestly, I shouldn't even be podcasting with you lovely people. I should be down in Battle Creek, like handing out sandwiches or something to the striking Kellogg's workers. But instead I do this. I'm on here saying like, oh, the Marvel universe isn't worth paying attention to. Like, I need better fucking priorities. My God.
Yeah, but like, who cares? But that's, I mean, it, like, I don't know, like, you could also just stop caring. You don't have to do anything. I think that's the other way of being like, oh, I'm gonna self-flagellate myself for not doing enough is also a trap.
Calvinism.
It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. because like people are doing stuff. Work is, not everyone, literally only one guy can be Lennon, mm-hmm. right? Like you are not Lennon. You are not Emma Goldman. You're not anybody. You're just some asshole. And it's okay to just be some asshole.
Like, you're lucky if you're a fucking Mother Jones, okay? You'd be lucky to be Kautsky. You'd be lucky.
Yes, you would be lucky to be fucking Sterner.
Sure, yeah, exactly.
Die
of a fucking bee sting. You should be so fucking lucky.
And the problem is that everyone wants to be that. Everyone wants to go on Twitter and just post enough so that they're remembered. But it's like,
right.
You could just do nothing and just try to live your life. Or you can, if you want to pay attention to this stuff, like, sure, help out where you can, find opportunities. But it's you're an individual.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to play it like it's a game. You got to look around you and be like, what are the rules? What is my, how much possible effect can I have on this, 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 and this? And then you pick what arena you think you're going to be most effective in and is going to make you feel the best about helping in. Because don't lie to yourself. You are doing this partly to assuage your own guilt. So pick an arena.
Yeah.
Local, municipal, state, federal, party organizing, shop floor organizing, whatever. Whatever feels like it's A, manageable, and B, productive, fucking go for it. But don't sit around and be like the communist version of like, you didn't put the recyclables in the correct bin. Like, shut up. Fuck you. And also get out of the meeting. Like,
yeah. Yeah, you're just making people annoyed at you.
And it's liberalism and it's recycled Calvinism or Christianity in general. It's just like, if you would rather feel bad than do something, you're useless. Go away. Like, literally go feel bad somewhere else.
And trying to get other people to feel bad for not doing minuscule stuff or whatever.
The worst.
Is also... And it always seems to lead back to benefiting fascists.
Yeah.
I was doing some research this week.
Oh.
And I'm not... I know people are going to be really mad at me for saying this.
Here we go.
But I was doing some, I was doing a little research and I found that there is an organization called Land Back. And I'm sure that you have heard mm-hmm. of this people. This is an evergreen argument right now online where people are mad about Land Back. People are saying the phrase Land Back. And honestly, the reason it makes me so mad is because it's like not a good chant and it's like grammatically incorrect. And it's like land back isn't, it's like a fragment. It just sounds wrong to my brain. It's like, I don't get what that means. So I was like, what is this? What are people talking about? And I went and I looked at the Land Back manifesto. And I noticed that it was a website that was funded entirely by something called NDN Corporation. And I said, right. What is that? And it is a private NGO created all by Native American leaders, right?
Mm-hmm.
Funded almost entirely by the Bezos Corporation.
Ah.
By an arm of Amazon. Literally, it's called the Bezos Fund.
Right.
$12 million in 1 year. Like some of the very first stuff is the Ford Foundation gave them a couple $100,000. And then the Bezos Foundation gave them $12 million in 2019. And
Ford
now,
Foundation notable for giving Hitler a bunch of money.
Yeah, yeah. No, the Ford Foundation is fascist.
Yes.
Bezos is fascist.
Yes.
And these are this is where all of their money, and the reason you're hearing the phrase Land Back everywhere is because of this corporate, this nonprofit.
Right. And of course, they don't really want to give the land.
Now, what do they actually want? In the manifesto, all you can see, there's four demands, and three of them are insane, like just like completely nonsensical, like, let's see, dismantle white supremacy structures that forcibly removed us from our lands and continue to keep our people in oppression. And they name A, the Bureau of Land Management and the National Park Service. So they want their
not
first,
like the U.S. military or the prison.
That's the second one. The second one is defund the police. And
not
ICE and Border Patrol.
The police?
No. Dismantle the Bureau of Land Management and the National Park Service, and then return all public lands back into indigenous hands. So they say specifically return public lands, and the only political like tool there could be to do that in a capitalist like fascist world is a private ownership.
Yeah.
So what they're demanding is that the government give public lands to private control, even if it's run by native people. That's fascist.
Yeah, I mean, native people who were in bed with Jeff Bezos. I mean, here's the thing.
Not in bed, funded
by, but like
almost fully by fascists.
I mean, I want to be clear. Like, we're not saying don't give land back to Native Americans. Absolutely, do give land back to Native Americans. Just don't let these weird not-for-profit NGO activism groups that have an incredible amount of fascist money coursing through them be the ones to come in and
set
capitalize
the stage set the stage for the conversation. And now in 2 years, when AOC and Ilhan Omar are like, hey, we support land back and we put this bill, Fred, that's going to put the hands of every national park in America into the hands of Jeff Bezos. Now that's a win for the left.
Yeah, or a win for progressivism or whatever. And I mean, that's just it, right? It's like, it's not that, it's like a D-Ray situation, but just much, much, much worse. Where they're not coming in too late after the fact, like D-Ray, and trying to be like, whoa, 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 we should do this more liberally. They got in at the ground floor. They knew that land back was something that like not a lot of people had heard about until fairly fucking recently. And they were like, oh, we have an idea how that can benefit us instead of the native peoples
absolutely.
Of North America.
Because the thing is that you can't just give land back under a capitalist system to some group of people and be like, oh, because what they mean is like what land reform would look like is like returning, you know, control of the land to the people that live on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is what I think people mean when they say land reform, or, you know,
right.
When good hearted people or people in good faith are saying the phrase land back, I'm sure that's what they're thinking.
Well, and like we've forced Native Americans to move to some pretty undesirable patches of land too. So we should give them options. Like, you don't just get the land you live on. You get some options for better land, but that can't happen under a capitalist system, because at best it's just going to become like a domestic Israel. Right?
Right,
like
exactly.
A client state that does fascism under the guise of being woke because it's Native Americans or Jewish people or,
right.
you know,
just
whatever.
Because
the case
just
is.
Because the million-dollar NGO is run by all Native Americans doesn't make it a private part, like fascist state, which it would become. That would be basically under the thumb of the corporate state.
Well, and it would still be run by the United States. Like, the United States dictates policy in places that aren't quote unquote the United States. So just giving them the land doesn't mean they're going to be out from under, like, it I know that it's designed this way, but like people who kind of fall for it, I think it kind of shows a lack of understanding of what imperialism is, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you don't have to literally be like part of the United States to be under their control.
Right. And so it's very frustrating, because this conversation now of like, there's this whole other conversation of, well, actually land reform or land back would look like this or look like this. And the point is that it doesn't fucking matter, because there's no revolution happening. There is no possible way to do like communist land reform until a communist revolution happens.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
the
it's
point
true.
Of talking about?
It's like the Green New Deal. If you want to give land back to the Native Americans that we, you know, genocided and stole the land from to make this country on top of their land, you have to get rid of Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam has to be fucking dead for this to work, for this
absolutely.
To take.
That's where the conversation has to start at. How do we overtake the fucking global power,
right?
Like the global hedge, and it's like the.
I don't think we're saying anything that like indigenous radicals aren't also saying.
Of course,
we're just disagreeing with like the doxa of like. Well, I mean, really, like the common knowledge of what this should look like is, and that's what I mean. Like in a lot of ways, I think this show has become a critique of doxa ever since abolish the police got shortened to defund. That was the moment where I think like I really had a light bulb above my head that was like, they are just playing with our ideas of what progress looks like in a bid to avoid, you know, committing to any kind of real fucking progress.
Right. Mm-hmm. And but it's a complete capturing of every type of energy, of youthful energy before it even becomes anything.
Well, it's true. I mean, this has because been going on for so long.
Because they saw what happened in the 60s.
They want you to join Greenpeace and PETA.
Exactly.
Right? They want you to join Extinction Rebellion if you have a problem with the way things are run. Because they know it doesn't do anything. It probably makes them money. Extinction Rebellion is probably a very profitable arm of Congress or something. Like,
serious.
It's right. It's like earlier when we were talking about how like the wheels are falling off the wagon. And I was thinking that like, it sort of feels like they can't put the toothpaste back in the tube of capitalism. Like no matter how many new deals they make, people are going to understand that it's still a bad deal. And so maybe I feel like they're kind of moving their energy of trying to like recuperate capitalism to just trying to recuperate socialism and just like muddy the waters and change the conversation into anything that will like not threaten their power in terms of like what are we doing next? What's progressivism? What's liberalism?
It's like the U.S. bourgeoisie are finally catching up to where the Nordic bourgeoisie were a century ago.
Well, they didn't have to, right? Like they didn't have to because
they've been doing exactly what they have to for a while. And now
because
like,
we uniquely have slave labor.
Yeah.
Like unlike every other country, we have like global bases of client states and internal slave labor that we are able to paper over and still look like a nice country that, you know, loves freedom for a long time. People from World War II to at least the 90s, like that was just something you couldn't question, is that it didn't matter that we still had slavery. That we were having a war, you know, a war where we were taking political prisoners against black people for the entirety of that, like those 50 years, I mean, for centuries, but also, you know, in this sort of like neoliberal beginnings.
But Bryn, I know that that's all a big problem, but I'm a very hip and woke 90s guy. I know we don't have the word woke yet, really, but I am.
You're a PC
and,
guy.
I threw out my TV. Is that not good enough?
No.
That's a good step.
How many people's lives did I save when I threw out my TV? Rough estimate.
I'm about to start Crime Think. I think I get points.
I'm getting a recycling tattoo, so that's like another 50 lives saved, right? There's like the recycling symbol.
Every day I get my espresso from the anarchist bookstore, so yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm doing good.
I have a free Tibet sticker on my car.
that's real shit though. That's like real shit, because that is a great example of how like actual anti-communism
I know
will get dressed up as like magical liberal progressivism.
Yeah, I'm
in
a
the
hippie.
United States.
I'm for the left, guys. I'm anti-communist.
Yeah,
it's
I
like,
hate China.
Fuck.
I'm such a Democrat. I'm basically a communist, and that's why I hate China.
Yeah, if the government was smart,
some things change, some things stay the same.
Now that the Democrats were smart. Or the Republicans, if somebody in the Senate was intelligent enough, they'd become the new Deng.
Yeah, that's right.
They'd be like, well, look at the writing on the wall. China is going to be the new superpower this century, this decade. Like, it's obvious. It's already happening. They're becoming the new.
They
superpower.
Already are, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Like. So if you're like, well, what? Dangest reforms can we put in so that everyone is happy and complacent and then still do capitalism for another couple of decades and I can make a lot of money. That's how you keep capitalism alive and breathing.
I love this character, Democrat 90s guy who loves China. That's a wonderful thought. Like that there really are, I'm sure this has happened, that there really are such
Absolutely.
Like, he's probably like a structural engineer or something. And he's at home and he's like, well, I've done the math on the back of this napkin. I have to admit, China's development of their productive forces is downright impressive. I don't agree with everything they're doing. Of course. I would never. But I have to admit, they must be doing some things right.
Yeah, maybe communism, not so bad. I don't know. Maybe it's not so bad.
Maybe there are parts of it that we could implement in capitalism, and you could call it like a mixed economy.
And this would make us money. It would make y'all money.
Everybody's happy. It's a win-win, however you say win in Mandarin. It's just a good time.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't, but as it stands now, like you were saying before, like, if they did an actual New Deal and gave us healthcare and $20 an hour, I still don't think it'd be enough.
No.
I don't think it would be even close to enough, because people have experienced the former quote unquote middle class along with all of the whatever you would consider the working class and poor has now experienced a level of precarity and abandonment by the systems that they took for granted. Mm-hmm. So traumatizing and alienating that I don't think anyone's ever going to trust the system to do anything. It would take literal war communism to get America to trust in the state again.
Yeah. And even then, I don't think it would work. I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think any revolution or any system that tries to preserve basically any structural elements of what the United States is today. And I'm talking like the borders between states.
Right.
Like, I don't even think you can keep Ohio and Indiana after you have a revolution, or your revolution is only going to last like a week. And then there's going to be another better one.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I always imagined that if there is any kind of revolution in America, it will be in parts of it, not all of it. Like,
right. Look, I'm just trying to find the quickest way to abolish Ohio. That's my I'm a one issue voter.
All we really want is for Ohio to be a crater.
I think Michigan and Indiana and whatever else is around there.
Yeah. I don't know. Am I a Leninist? Am I an anarchist? Ask me after you've gotten rid of the police and Ohio.
And then we'll talk.
I'll probably just write you a blank check. Like, go for it, Lenin, buddy.
Buckeyes. How about the Buckeyes go into the shadow realm and never exist again?
That's fucking right. That's right. Cincinnati goes to Kentucky. Columbus goes to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Toledo goes back to Michigan like it was supposed to originally.
Exactly.
Before we traded the UP away.
Four winds. Ohio goes to the four winds.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much for listening. This has been BP Bledis. Hopefully we weren't too spicy this episode, but we're fired up and we're mad about you guys having such terrible opinions.
We've recovered. We've got the antibodies now. Mm-hmm. I'm about to get my email to tell me if I've got COVID this very moment. But what's really important is that we've shut down the people who think they have hot takes online.
Mm-hmm. That's so important.
Yeah, I got a hot take for you. It's my 100-degree fever I got from having COVID. That's a hot take. Your hot take is not so hot, my friend.
Why don't you hot take a fucking bath and have a lie down?
Just saying. Have a good time. Enjoy your life. If you want to get involved, get involved. Don't be an insane person.
Yeah, maybe take the vaccine, because even with the vaccine, COVID sucked. I shudder to imagine catching that unvaccinated. That would have sucked ass.
Hot take the vaccine. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But thanks for still being with us. Sorry that we've taken such a long time to get you a new episode. We will try to not do that again. Hopefully not everyone is sick for the rest of our lives, but you know, it's a hard world out here. Otherwise, thanks so much for being here. If you'd like to hear more of our show, we do a bonus episode every week where we talk more about everything. Go to patreon.com/BP Bledis and you can sign up there, get Discord benefits, blah blah blah. Listen to John's other show, Work Stoppage, my other show, Generation Loss. It's about movies. His is about working. And Yeah, all the things.
You know the
we'll
things.
We'll see you next time.
Go, you know the thing.
Abolish Ohio. Abolish Calvinism.
Craterize Ohio.
Get out of here.
Beep on.
Goodbye. Bye.
Happening here, what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. I think it's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.